views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Kelly Ballard, and you're listening to the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond on Transformation Talk Radio. I am so glad that you joined me today. I hope wherever you are that you are happy and full of peace and just good energy and just absorbing all the wonderful things that the universe gets to provide to us each and every day. Thank you for sharing your brilliant energy with me. We're going to do some awesome things together with Spirit. So I hope that you'll stay with me for the next hour as we open up our hearts and our minds to connect in with Spirit and educate ourselves with divine energy. Each week, as you know, we cover a variety of topics ranging from grief and spirit guides, mediumship, listening to your intuition, animal communication, healing, and so much more. And if you're wondering on how you can find me outside of Transformation Talk Radio, you can always check out my website at reflectiveharmony.com for more information about how to schedule a private reading with me in my upstate New York office, or also over the phone. I read for clients all over the United States and internationally, or to read about any of my upcoming classes and workshops. And speaking of workshops, I have my final webinar in my four-part webinar series that's coming up next Wednesday, the 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm really excited. This is the final one in the series, as I mentioned, and it's all about automatic writing. Automatic writing is a process in which you, as the writer, you let yourself go, you surrender to Spirit, letting Spirit work through you to provide insight, inspiration, messages, you name it, beautiful, beautiful language and information. It's a process that anybody can use. I utilize it almost daily in my work. It's a wonderful way for me to connect in with Spirit and to get some insight, to get some guidance from them, to hear some of the things that maybe otherwise I wouldn't. So there is still room in that webinar. If you want to sign up, you can do so on my website. It's a great, great evening, and I hope that you'll consider signing up. We're going to have a lot of fun together. So we've got an absolutely fantastic show today, and I've been really, really excited to have our guest on. We're going to be talking about a topic that is very, very interesting to me, and I'm really, really excited for you guys to open those hearts and minds. But before we get into that, I wanted to give you all a few tidbits of information before we get into that good stuff. As you know, we've got the best callers that call into the show each week, and we'll be opening up our phone lines if you have any questions for our guests today. And that number, this is where you grab that pen and paper, is 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. And if you're interested in following along with today's show on my Facebook page, you can check that out, facebook.com/reflectiveharmonyKMB. And we'll also have an archive of today's show up on my website at some point tomorrow as well. So with all said, let's get into the good stuff today. So nature and earth are conscious. They speak to us through our dreams, our intuition, through our deep longings. By opening our minds and hearts and our senses, we can consciously awaken to the magic of the wild, the rhythms of nature, and the profound wisdom of the earth. I'm so excited to have today's guest in my show. Lynn Roberts is an award-winning author and a prominent teacher of healing and shamanism. Her books include Speaking with Nature, which she co-authored with Sandra Ingerman, who will be talking about that book today, Shapeshifting into Higher Consciousness, Shamanic Reiki, and The Good Remembering. Lynn teaches ancient methods that can be applied to everyday life in order to turn crisis and fear into opportunities, and which can heal us and our relationship with the earth. Her work opens us to an expanded paradigm of well-being that is essential to our own and the planet's health, as well as our world. She holds a master's degree in Buddhist and Western psychology and is an initiate of shamanic circles in Latin America and in Siberia. She has led sacred journeys for 20 years to indigenous shamanic peoples living in remote regions of the Amazon basin, the Asian steppes, the high Andes, and the ancient lands of Maya. She teaches at highly regarded educational institutions, including Omega Institute, the Prophets Conference, the Shift Network, and Sounds True. Lynn is also an adjunct professor at the Union Graduate School and the Graduate Institute. She's a former director of Dream Change, founded by John Perkins, and she is the founder and president of the Olympic Mountain Earth Wisdom Circle. Lynn, welcome to today's show. I am so glad that you are here.
Thank you, Kelly. It's really wonderful to join you today.
Well, thank you. So, Lynn, I love to always hear about my guest journeys. Like, how did they get into this work? What was their calling? How did they know that they were going to be on the path that they're on? So I was wondering if you can share a little bit with us about your journey. How did you get into this amazing healing work, especially as a shaman?
Yeah, certainly. You know, and it's different for everybody. And for me, it really began since childhood that I had such a deep, deep connection with nature. And I also had spiritual experiences from the time of being a young child, one of which is I had telepathic communication with star beings from a distant place in the universe. And so, you know, I had a lot of things open for me from childhood. And it just increased. By the time I was in high school, I was avidly studying in Tibetan Buddhism and studied with a Tibetan teacher for many years in Boulder in my 20s. And I lived in India for almost a year when I was 24, 25. And so I was on the path, you know, from childhood. And then in terms of shamanism, it's quite interesting because in my late 20s, I had, you know, I had a lot of things under my belt already, and I was an energy healer and a psychotherapist from the Tibetan Buddhist perspective of working with, you know, people. And but then I married and had my two children, and with my son's birth, I was 33 when he was born, we had a crisis. We had a home birth, and he was a very large baby, and he almost didn't make it. He was 10 pounds, 2 ounces, and my life was threatened also. And it feels that from that point, everything just heightened for me. And actually, not too long after that, I ended up channeling the book, The Good Remembering, which is a message from star beings. And that really brought me back to my childhood experiences with these other beings. And, you know, all of this actually pushed me into a life crisis. And from the shamanic perspective, these are often places of deep initiation where, you know, our worldview kind of collapses. And I had already, as I said, was on the path, but this cracked me open in a way that I wasn't quite prepared for. And that's a, you know, again, in shamanic cultures, when you have the dissembling of your personal identity, it's a time when the spirits are very close to you. And it's, you know, a time when we can really open even more deeply to what our calling is and what our purpose is. And so I quickly recognized that my own culture, you know, this was in the early to mid 1990s, didn't have a real good paradigm for what I was experiencing. It's getting better and better. But really, you know, the labels of breakdown or you know, semi-psychosis, those are kind of the options I was looking at. So what I consciously chose was to see this as a spiritual opening and to support myself in those ways so I could really garner the gifts of that difficult but powerful, powerful time where I was, you know, in the spirit world a lot. And resulting again in the book, The Good Remembering. So that's when I started pursuing shamanism, which I hadn't done before because I found within the shamanic paradigms all the answers I was looking for in terms of what I was experiencing and how I could actually work with it to empower myself. And not only that, to really get me to the point where I could give my gifts to the world, because really I believe that's what that time was about for me. And many of our own, you know, everybody's crisis times are a point of, you know, I could let this do me in, or I could really go deeply into positive change.
And I think that's a struggle for people that I don't know a lot of people that when they go into that place of crisis, try to look at that as coming out of it, you know, with that positive change, with that attitude. I think that's a very, very genuine struggle for people.
Yes, yes. And more so these days, you know, as we were speaking earlier, before we got on the show, there's a lot of energy stirring us these days. There are a lot of challenges, and these are, again, points of initiation and choice where
Absolutely.
We can really deepen into spirit and look at the world differently and ourselves.
Lynn, I'm going to have you hold that thought just for a moment. If you all are just tuning in, you're listening to The Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, Lynn, can you tell our guests how they can find you on the web for more information?
Yes, my website is lynnroberts.com. That's L-L-Y-N, roberts.com. And I also do a lot of programs at the Omega Institute, not far from you, in Rhinebeck, New York. And that is eomega.org.
Fantastic. I'll add both of those to my Facebook page in just a moment. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
So many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Do you often find yourself feeling overwhelmed, overworked, or exhausted? Are you ready to embrace a life filled with more love, connection, and joy? Best of the Month list and 5-star rated on Amazon, Conscious Being by author TJ Woodward will awaken you to your true nature. To learn more about how to get your copy of Conscious Being, visit consciousbeingbook.com today.
What is a master soul gardener? With Nomi Bahar, you can be one too. Her revolutionary Gates of Power method is a comprehensive program that addresses every aspect of yourself and gives you the tools to tend to the seeds of your soul's garden. Let Nomi guide you through and beyond what's holding you back and help you embrace the life you've always dreamed of. To learn more about upcoming classes and workshops, visit gatesofpower.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond with me, Kelly Ballard, on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today. And if you're just tuning in and you have a moment, you can check out my latest Facebook posting about today's show. All the ways you can find our wonderful guest, Lynn Roberts. And as I mentioned before, we'll also have an archive of the show up on my website, reflectiveharmony.com, after today's show tomorrow, at some point tomorrow as well. So Lynn, we were chatting a little bit about your journey and how you got into the work that you're doing. So for my listeners that maybe aren't familiar with how a shaman works, can you talk to us a little bit about that, or talk to us a little bit about the work that you do as a shaman?
Sure. Well, first of all, shamanism is ancient, and it's a cross-cultural boundaries. It is found in every part of the world since time immemorial. And a shaman essentially is a woman or a man who travels to other worlds, alternate or expanded realities, however you want to view that, obtaining power, wisdom, and energy to affect change in this reality. And shamans are typically in these communities, they are the healers. You know, they do personal hands-on healing, working with spiritual energies and also bringing in the elements of nature to affect change for people, positive change, bring them back to wholeness. Although it's shamans make it very clear it's not them who do any of the healing. It's really the relationship to spirit and the earth, similar to Reiki, you know, where Reiki practitioner is a hollow reed. And really channels that energy for the benefit of the person. And the other thing about shamans, however, is that they're not just about personal healing. They're also about communal healing. They're agents of change always in their communities. And they're really about maintaining the balance between people, spirit, and nature. And this is really important, you know. And they're also, you know, they don't, you know, you find whatever kind of practitioner in this culture, energy healing or whatever you want to call it, even medical, and that's all people do. However, in shamanic cultures, I find it very interesting that they may be the shamans and the healers and the clients show up. However, they're also in the fields, or they're merchants. You know, they have other roles that they play, and they're not put on pedestals as we can tend to do in this culture. So they're very earthy, and that's one beautiful thing. You know, when I had my journey of opening to shamanic wisdom and traveling to many different and remote cultures to learn directly from shamans on their own lands, I quickly learned that spirituality is not just about the upper chakras or about the heavens and about kind of working with energy in that way. It's very earthy, it's very grounded, and everything is sacred. And so it's a real integrating force for those of us who are naturally drawn to spiritual areas. And the way a shaman, there are many different ways that shamans perform healings. And one of the ways that I've trained in extensively with Quechua people in high Andes involves direct contact on the person's body with the elements. So for instance, you work with a plant bundle that you brush along the body. Sometimes it appears like it's flogging the body with this big bundle of plants, mm-hmm. really bringing in the spirit and the power, the cleansing power of the plants and also the spirit of the plants. And you work with stones and apply these on the body also, and really imbuing into the energy field in the body the power and strength of the stones. And you also invoke sacred waters and literally douse people in water. And this tradition also has a sacred fire blowing practice which derives from the fact that they live surrounded by volcanoes, and they obtain the power to heal from the volcanoes, the master spirit of the volcano. So they'll blow what's called tuago, it's sugarcane alcohol, through a lit candle, invoking a huge fireball. And if you get on my website, lynnroberts.com, I have a picture of this, me doing it.
I saw that.
You saw that.
It's
quite
incredible.
Impressive. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful healing force, fire, and it's used in all indigenous cultures. So really direct application of the elements, and all the cultures are doing this, and also working with their spirit guides and allowing that energy to come through them to bring the person into greater balance. So the person is literally remembering who they are, you know, that we are nature, we are the elements. It's very powerful, powerful methods. And it's important to remember also that all of us come from indigenous shamanic cultures. We all do. And we all are indigenous to this planet, to the earth. So we all have these healing capacities within us, and we all respond to them as well.
You know, I'm so fascinated that you brought up the plant bundle. I have a colleague of mine who is a shaman, who she's now passed on the other side. But one of my very, very first experiences that I ever had with her, going to her for some healing work, she lived up in one of the mountains of Vermont, and we had gone outside before the session started, and we were picking different like ferns and plants and things that were on her property. And before we went inside, she used a plant bundle on me. And at the time, it was my very first experience ever, you know, doing any sort of energy work like that. I didn't question or ask, like, why are you doing this? And what are you doing? I just kind of went with it. But it was a really powerful experience. And for me, it was one of the very first times that I can remember feeling, and I'm going to probably even butcher that feeling as I try to explain it, but energy doesn't seem to do it justice, but energy going through me, around me, moving things in a very, very different way. And she used a lot of different crystals and rocks and stones within her practice as well. But, you know, it was, you just reminded me of a very, very pleasant memory when saying that. So thank you for sharing that.
That's great. That's wonderful that you experienced that.
What I wanted to ask you about, we have a few minutes before we need to take a break again, but you mentioned Reiki, and I know that you have a book, Shamanic Reiki, that that you did. How does Reiki and shamanic practices blend in with each other, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's, you know, my story with that was interesting because I was empowered at that level one and level two from a traditional teacher, which was extremely powerful. However, after level two, I started having increased shamanic, what I would see now as shamanic experiences of seeing spirit guides while I was working, and of working with, you know, beings that would appear, who could be the person's deceased grandfather, a lot of the work you do, you know, and have conversations with them. So things started happening that weren't outlined for me in the Reiki training. So it really encouraged me to open up in terms of what Reiki was. I feel that for me, you know, after studying both modalities and practicing for almost 30 years, Reiki, hands-on Reiki, that they're really inseparable to me. I don't see them separately. And when you think of Usui's, you know, how he meditated on the mountain and received the symbols and a real deep energetic understanding of how to work with this, that would be described as a shamanic experience, perhaps a shamanic
right.
initiation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really see them inseparably.
That's incredible. I have a few students of mine in Reiki right now that I think have a draw into kind of that realm of work. And I think I'm going to treat them to your book about shamanic Reiki. I think that would be beneficial for them to read. In a couple moments, like I said, we have to take a break. But I really want to get into, Lynn, your most recent book, Speaking with Nature, that you did with Sandra Ingerman. And I have so many questions and so many things that I want to ask you about. You know, that book for you, I imagine, must have very much reading it for me, I think it has changed my perspective about how I'm thinking at things that I want to work more on within myself, how I am looking at nature, how I want to connect with things on a bigger level. That book must have been a life-changing experience for you.
Yeah, it certainly was. It really was. I had the benefit during the time I had a crisis in my life, actually. This is another example of, and this is typical of people on the shamanic path, that we have many, you know, many times people have near-death experiences, and I've had a few of those. So I had a crisis that really drove me to really examine my life. And I actually walked away from what my life was at the time, and I chose to live in the Ho Rainforest, which is on the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State. It's the largest temperate rainforest in the world. And I was supported there by my forest guide, Mick Dodge of Nat Geo's Legend of Mick Dodge. And just a powerful, powerful immersion that, you know, I feel so grateful to have experienced. In the first week I was there, I didn't go there intending to write this book. I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw myself working with Sander Ingerman on a project. And we were so happy in what we were working on that when I woke up, I decided to contact her and invite her to work on a project with me. So,
oh my gosh, that's amazing. Lynn, I'm going to have you hold that thought just for one moment. Sure. If you're tuning in, you're listening to the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Lynn about her new book, Speaking with Nature. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Radiant authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Francine Vale is a being of light. She believes that all people of planet Earth are as well. As co-host of the Angel Healer radio show, Francine teaches you heart-centered ways to manifest healing on your own behalf and how to integrate love more fully into your daily life. Connect with your angels as you find your life flowing with ease and harmony. Walk the path of light with Francine and Dr. Pat Basile every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, We're back on the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond, with me, Kelly Ballard, on Transformation Talk Radio. I so appreciate you spending time with me today. And as a medium and intuitive consultant, I work with spirit daily to provide my clients with answers, insight, and inspiration from their loved ones on the other side. You can always find more information about my services at reflectiveharmony.com. We have time left. If any of you are interested in calling in and chatting with the wonderful Lynn Roberts, you can do so. Our number is 800-930-2819. I'd love for you to listen to the replay of this show. And for those of you who might be just tuning in, you can do that. We should have that up and going at some point early tomorrow as well. And you can find that on the Transformation Talk Radio site or on the archives of my website also. So Lynn, we were chatting about your newest book, Speaking with Nature, that you co-authored with Sandra Ingerman. And I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite chapter? I've told you about, I love the a couple of the chapters in there, but what is your favorite chapter in the book? What really moved you?
You know, it's really hard to say that sometimes, although I find myself, I love to reread Banana Slug and muse into that. And as everybody else seems to, and Hemlock and Lady of the Sycamore. But then I think of the others and I get really excited because, again, for me, each chapter was such a deep immersion. And, you know, as with all of my books, actually, I reread them myself because I don't consider that it's just kind of my small personality writing them, because I really open myself to channel through whatever wants to come in. And I know you talked about automatic writing, and I think a lot of that happens, I know, for Sandra as well. It's like, what is the earth wanting to say through us? So it's a teaching for me as much as it is for anyone else. But I love to reread it and also to muse back into that space. And I want to make it clear too, because I do have the opportunity. You know, I lived at the edge of the wilderness for almost 2 years, and I go back there frequently, and I live in a pretty semi-rural environment. That's important for me, but not everybody does. In fact, most of our populations live and will be living in cities. And it's important for us to remember that nature is everywhere, even in cities, even in those parts of the cities that you can't find trees. There's still dirt, and there's still often plants and plant boxes, and there's the air and birds living in department stores and airports, and we have plants, and, you know, we can take an active role in bringing more green into our urban areas. It's real important to do that, and we all have water. You know, think about the water running through all the pipe systems, and water is conscious, and it has memory, and we can communicate with it. You know, those of us practicing Reiki know we can invoke the Reiki symbols and just really express our gratitude with the elements, heighten our awareness. Go out, you know, when it's raining or when it's a little windy, and don't close yourself off from the elements. Really open to them. Open your heart and feel the communication all around you. And shamanic cultures, they really perceive nature as living spirit. Everything has spirit and everything is alive. And we can communicate with it. And that's not just kind of an idea. It actually plays out in reality. And it's a very, very powerful way to understand the shapeshift that our cultural story really needs to go through. And this is part of the dismemberment that you see. You know, we have our personal dismemberments, which is a very shamanic journey of kind of the disintegration of who we know ourselves to be. That's happening for us culturally, too. And, in the time, it feels like we're dying. It feels bad. And there's a real death with it. On the other hand, it's an invitation for new life. It's an invitation for really touching in with the greater aspects of reality. You know, what we're living now is just a slice of what really our world is. It's magical. It's powerful. It's beautiful.
So, Lynn, kind of last question here. Can you give an example of how we can connect with and gain like qualities and teachings from nature, like that we can that can support us through the changing times on our planet right now?
Well, you know, first of all, the book has at the end of every chapter, and there's a lot of stories, and you get the teachings right from the stories, but there are practices that anyone can do. And even if you can't get outside of your apartment on the eighth floor of a building in the city, you can do these practices and go into these meditations and experiences, because things are non-local too. If I close my eyes and really feel myself in the Amazon rainforest where I've been for 8 times, I'm there, you know, in many ways I'm there, or it's here with me. And so for people who are, you know, feel that they don't have access to nature, however, there are usually in cities, parks and places you can go. You know, the most important thing is to develop a relationship with nature and to still the mind. You know, our minds are full of so many things. And, you know, nature's a great balancer. If you feel like you're overwhelmed in life, or you have a dilemma you just can't grapple with, take a walk. Go out in the park and feel the breezes and let your mind kind of settle into your heart and body, and really start perceiving from your senses and your body and your heart more than your mind. You know, the mind is a really great tool, but it's kind of taken over, and that's not a balanced way of living. In indigenous shamanic cultures, there's a lot of body wisdom. There's a lot of intuition that comes from perceiving from the heart and body. It's not a mental task. So really working with that and just opening yourself and making offerings. And again, we describe this in the book, and maybe sitting with a tree or taking time as you would with a friend. You know, we have to take time with our friends and family members to really deepen our relationships with them. And it's the same with our pets, and it's the same with a tree. And then you start to open those channels by really expressing your gratitude, just opening to feeling the presence and teachings, and looking at the qualities of this being. You know, how does it respond to weather, and what are its physical characteristics? And when you're sitting with a tree or a stone or a stream, or, you know, what are your feelings? What comes up for you? There are many, many different ways. And again, we go into very specific ways that we can do this in the book, Speaking with Nature.
Well, as I mentioned to you in the break, this really was a book. It surprised me how much that I connected in with it. You know, people who know me well would probably joke and call me that I'm more of a glamper versus a camper. but, you know, it has given me an entirely new perspective of looking at nature, connecting in on a bigger level. And I'm really excited to be able to dive into this book again and take my time with it, because I really was moved. And I thank you for writing this book and creating this. I think it's going to be a change the way that people are looking at things and thinking of things. I know it certainly did for me. And I thank you so much, Lynn, for sharing that with us.
No, thank you, Kelly. It's been really wonderful to join you today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, it's hard to believe, but our show is over. It flew by, and I cannot wait to connect in with you all next week. I need to thank our amazing guest, Lynn Roberts, for sharing her time and energy with us today. Lynn, thank you so much. It was fantastic having you on.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. My pleasure.
And if you all would like to find out more information about Lynn, you can connect with her online at lynnroberts.com, LLYNROBERTS.com. I want to thank you all for sharing your time and energy and vibration with me today. And sincerely, thank you for tuning into the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond on Transformation Talk Radio. Next Thursday is actually my last show on Transformation Talk Radio. I've got some new adventures in the pipeline, but I hope that you'll spend next Thursday with me. We're going to spend the whole show talking all about messages from spirit, and I'd love to connect in with all of you. So call in and let me do the work that I love. You won't want to miss this show. Have a great week. Be open to the awesomeness of the universe, and thank you for allowing me to serve spirit. Take care, everybody.
We've already said
back on the Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond with me, Kelly Ballard, on Transformation Talk Radio. Don't forget to check out my Facebook page, facebook.com. I just put a link up there if you're interested in purchasing Lynn's book or checking out any of the books that she has authored. You can find that on my Facebook page. And you can also check out my website, reflectiveharmony.com, for an archive of today's show and any of my recent appearances on the Dr. Pat Show as well. So Lynn, we were talking a little bit about what drew you to write this book, and you were saying that you had had a dream that you were working with Sandra Ingerman and having a wonderful time connecting in with her, and you reached out to her and proposed this project?
Correct, and she was very enthusiastic about it, and it didn't take us long to, you know, recognize the diversity of the land that we lived within. I lived, you know, in a very wet, lush climate with 14 to 15 feet of rain a year. And she lives in the high desert and mountains of New Mexico. So, we just felt very strongly to work with the nature beings in each of our locales and really muse deeply into them to bring out transformational and transformative teachings from these nature beings. And it was so interesting because we both, you know, got very excited, and we quickly created a list of the nature beings we wanted to write. And then it didn't take long for us to discover that they really called to us. And it was not a linear process of writing this book. It was just a very intuitive process and just demanded that we deeply connect with the nature all around us.
And was it something that, you know, how do you see this book helping people, you know, shift their relationship with the natural world?
Well, you know, there are so many, a lot of the book has, there's a lot of storytelling in the book, and it takes you into a visceral experience of the nature beings that we worked with and the communication and intuitions that were coming to us from the plants and the nature beings. And by the way, these are not, you know, there are so many resources out there, really wonderful ones for working with animal guides and other things. And it's interesting in this book because the nature beings that really called out to work with us were more subtle, such as silt and mist and sand and corn and, you know, elements that you might not normally think of for, you know, what people feel are their spirit guides and presences. So it was just, can you refresh me? What was that last thing you said?
How do you think this is going to shift people with their relationship with the natural world? So for example, one of the chapters in the book that really fascinated me was what you wrote about the banana slug. And, you know, never in 1,000 years would I have ever probably given a little banana slug any, or slug in general for that matter, any real thought or, you know, information. And I'm reading this and literally reread the chapter twice. And when I got to the back of the chapter about the practices and, you know, really kind of thinking about this, it's moved something inside of me, and it's mm-hmm. really, has me thinking in a very, very different path, not only how I look at myself in that sense, but even what I might be lacking in my own life. So, mm-hmm. you know, how do you hope this is going to change people's relationships with that natural world?
Well, first of all, just to bring people closer to the natural world is really important. And we have to remember that nature is a mirror for us. Nature is an alchemical mirror. It's also a portal to really profoundly deep realities that we have kind of shut ourselves off from in this culture because we, you know, we've dissociated from nature and from spirit in so many ways. So it will really shift your consciousness just to read the book as you experience. And part of that, I believe, is because, you know, it's not necessarily my writing of the chapter. It's really banana slug in nature that is coming through that really facilitates that shift. Just in reading the book, people experience that. And everybody mentions banana slug because it's such an unusual, you know, creature. And some people have an aversion to these little wormy creatures, you know, and when you really start to engage them, you realize how amazingly sentient they are. And it makes you wonder, why do we have aversion to certain aspects of nature and those in particular? And, you know, what came through in the chapter with banana slug is this real honoring of what is small and what is subtle and what is quiet, and those parts of ourselves, you know, that oftentimes we don't feel might not be good enough, and our culture devalues oftentimes. Just recognizing the richness and the importance of really honoring every aspect of who we are. And when we can do that with ourselves, we can certainly do that a lot better regarding nature also. And that's another part of it. Once we develop an intimate and passionate relationship with the world around us, we really understand when we're cutting so many trees, or we're trying to manicure our yard to the point where, you know, we've lost touch with what is wild and natural. And, it helps us bridge that place that has put us in such a dissociative connection with nature, and to the point where, you know, we're just destroying our own life source here on this planet. So, and it's very helpful in terms of, you know, nature is, it's such an amazing teacher because, first of all, you know, we have so many difficult things happening in our world now. Very, very hard for people to integrate. And people's personal lives as well. And certainly destructive things happen in nature, and there's enough evidence out there now, scientific evidence proving that plants are sentient, that they respond. For instance, when a plant across the room, when somebody pours boiling water down a sink and the algae in the sink drain die, then the plants across the room respond to that. So there's a feeling, there's a sense of, oh, part of, you know, someone like me is dying. There's a destruction, and there's an emotion with that. And at the same time, nature is, when destructive things happen, nature doesn't just curl up and everything dies. Nature actually pops back because it's really all about life. And I saw this so much in the rainforest. I lived on a small strip of private land in between state and national forests, and of course state lands are often cut. So I walked sometimes through those lands, and I would see amidst the, you know, second generation trees, second and third growth, there were massive stumps that I could see everywhere. And it was so sad for me. I could barely stand it sometimes. But then one day I was running or walking through there, and I realized, my God, the life is just pouring out of here. It's just everything wants to grow out of all the death here. And I really need to honor that. And it's such a good teaching for us that, you know, we need to mourn and feel our grief for what we're losing. At the same time, we need to more than ever put our energy into life and what supports and nourishes us and our families and our communities and our landscapes.
It's very interesting you're saying that, because it was, Lynn, the other chapter that I was going to tell you that I was really moved by was Lady of the Sycamore. And a lot of what you're sharing is very much within that chapter. And between that and the banana slug, I'll be honest with you, when I was reading through both of those, there were points where energetically I was a little choked up and moved to tears. And I couldn't really tell you why, but I resonated with your words, and I resonated with the messages in the practice portions of those chapters. And I think that, this book for me, I'm excited to read through it again and kind of take my time with it and be a little bit more pokey, because it's something for me that I think has awakened a different way of looking at life, looking at nature, looking at myself, and so I'm grateful for having this experience to read that. We need to take a quick break. If you are interested in connecting in with Lynn, you can connect in with her at lynnroberts.com, LynnRoberts.com. When we return, we're going to talk more about Lynn's book, and stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Francine Vale is a being of light. She believes that all people of planet Earth are as well. As co-host of the Angel Healer Radio Show, Francine teaches you heart-centered ways to manifest healing on your own behalf and how to integrate love more fully into your daily life. Connect with your angels as you find your life flowing with ease and harmony. Walk the path of light with Francine and Dr. Pat Basile every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Back on the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond, with me, Kelly Ballard, on Transformation Talk Radio. I so appreciate you spending time with me today. And as a medium and intuitive consultant, I work with spirit daily to provide my clients with answers, insight, and inspiration from their loved ones on the other side. You can always find more information about my services at reflectiveharmony.com. We have time left. If any of you are interested in calling in and chatting with the wonderful Lynn Roberts, you can do so. Our number is 800-930-2819. I'd love for you to listen to the replay of this show. And for those of you who might be tuning in, you can do that. We should have that up and going at some point early tomorrow as well. And you can find that on the Transformation Talk Radio site or on the archives of my website also. So Lynn, we were chatting about your newest book, Speaking with Nature, that you co-authored with Sandra Ingerman. And I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite chapter? I've told you about, I love the a couple of the chapters in there, but what is your favorite chapter in the book? What really moved you?
You know, it's really hard to say that sometimes, although I find myself, I love to reread Banana Slug and muse into that. And as everybody else seems to, and Hemlock and Lady of the Sycamore. I think of the others and I get really excited because, again, for me, each chapter was such a deep immersion. And, you know, as with all of my books, actually, I reread them myself because I don't consider that it's just kind of my small personality writing them, because I really open myself to channel through whatever wants to come in. And I know you talked about automatic writing, and I think a lot of that happens, I know, for Sandra as well. It's like, what is the earth wanting to say through us? So it's a teaching for me as much as it is for anyone else. But I love to reread it and also to muse back into that space. And I want to make it clear too, because I do have the opportunity, you know, I lived at the edge of the wilderness for almost 2 years, and I go back there frequently, and I live in a pretty semi-rural environment that's important for me, but not everybody does. In fact, most of our populations live and will be living in cities. And it's important for us to remember that nature is everywhere, even in cities. cities, even in those parts of the cities that you can't find trees, there's still, you know, there's still dirt and there's still often plants and plant boxes, and there's the air and birds living in department stores and airports, and we have plants, and, you know, we can take an active role in bringing more green into our urban areas. It's really important to do that. And we all have water, you know, think about the water running through all the pipe systems, and water is conscious and it has memory, and we can communicate with it. You know, those of us practicing Reiki know we can invoke the Reiki symbols and just really express our gratitude with the elements, heighten our awareness. Go out, you know, when it's raining or when it's a little windy, and don't close yourself off from the elements. Really open to them, open your heart, and feel the communication all around you. And shamanic cultures, they really perceive nature as living spirit. Everything has spirit and everything is alive, and we can communicate with it. And that's not just kind of an idea. It actually plays out in reality, and it's a very, very powerful way to understand the shapeshift that our culture, our cultural story really needs to go through. And this is part of the dismemberment that you see. You know, we have our personal dismemberment, which is a very shamanic journey of kind of the disintegration of who we know ourselves to be. That's happening for us culturally, too. And, it, you know, in the time, it feels like we're dying. It feels bad. And you know, there's a real death with it. On the other hand, it's an invitation for new life. It's an invitation for really touching in with the greater aspects of reality. You know, what we're living now is just a slice of what really our world is. It's magical. It's powerful. It's beautiful.
So, Lynn, kind of last question here. Can you give an example of how we can connect with and gain like qualities and teachings from nature, like that we can, that can support us through the changing times on our planet right now?
Well, you know, first of all, the book has at the end of every chapter, and there's a lot of stories, and you get the teachings right from the stories, but there are practices that anyone can do. And even if you can't get outside of your apartment on the eighth floor of a building in the city, you can do these practices and go into these meditations and experiences, because it's things are non-local too. If I close my eyes and really feel myself in the Amazon rainforest, where I've been for eight times, I'm there, you know, in many ways I'm there, or it's here with me. And so for people who are, you know, feel that they don't have access to nature, however, there are usually in cities, parks, and places you can go. You know, the most important thing is to develop a relationship with nature and to still the mind. You know, our minds are full of so many things. And, you know, nature's a great balancer. If you feel like you're overwhelmed in life, or you have a dilemma you just can't grapple with, take a walk. Go out in the park and feel the breezes and let your mind kind of settle into your heart and body, and really start perceiving from your senses and your body and your heart more than your mind. You know, the mind is a really great tool, but it's kind of taken over, and that's not a balanced way of living. In indigenous shamanic cultures, there's a lot of body wisdom. There's a lot of intuition that comes from perceiving from the heart and body. It's not a mental task. So really working with that and just opening yourself and making offerings. And again, we describe this in the book, and maybe sitting with a tree or taking time as you would with a friend. You know, we have to take time with our friends and family members to really deepen our relationships with them. And it's the same with our pets, and it's the same with a tree. It's, and then you start to open those channels by really expressing your gratitude, just opening to feeling the presence and teachings, and looking at the qualities of this being. You know, how does it respond to weather, and what are its physical characteristics? And when you're sitting with a tree or a stone or a stream, or, you know, what are your feelings? What comes up for you? There are many, many different ways. And again, we go into very specific ways that we can do this in the book, Speaking with Nature.
Well, as I mentioned to you in the break, this really was a book. It surprised me how much that I connected in with it. You know, people who know me well would probably joke and call me that I'm more of a glamper versus a camper. but, you know, it has given me an entirely new perspective of looking at nature, connecting in on a bigger, bigger level. And I'm really excited to be able to dive into this book again and take my time with it, because I really was moved. And I thank you for writing this book and creating this. I think it's going to be a definitely change the way that people are looking at things and thinking of things. I know it certainly did for me. And I thank you so much, Lynn, for sharing that with us.
No, thank you, Kelly. It's been really wonderful to join you today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, it's hard to believe, but our show is over. It flew by, and I cannot wait to connect in with you all next week. I need to thank our amazing guest, Lynn Roberts, for sharing her time and energy with us today. Lynn, thank you so much. It was fantastic having you on.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. My pleasure.
And if you all would like to find out more information about Lynn, you can connect with her online at lynnroberts.com, LLYNROBERTS.com. I want to thank you all for sharing your time and energy and vibration with me today. And sincerely, thank you for tuning into the Kelly Ballard Show, Insight and Inspiration from the Great Beyond on Transformation Talk Radio. Next Thursday is actually my last show on Transformation Talk Radio. I've got some new adventures in the pipeline, but I hope that you'll spend next Thursday with me. We're going to spend the whole show talking all about messages from spirit, and I'd love to connect in with all of you. So call in and let me do the work that I love. You won't want to miss this show. Have a great week. Be open to the awesomeness of the universe, and thank you for allowing me to serve spirit. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly Ballard is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from your loved ones on the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in every week and visit www.reflectiveharmony.com to learn more about Kelly and the services she provides. Thanks for listening.